Welcome to the Wisdom Journey with Stephen Davey. If you or someone you know is prone to complaining, today's lesson is going to help you. Stephen Davey is calling today's message, Fresh Food and a Power Play.
There's something about all of us that finds it easy to see something we're missing in life and ignore so many of God's blessings. You know, that's a pretty good description of the nation Israel right now. They're quick to complain. In fact, their complaining spirit's going to show up as soon as they leave Mount Sinai and head out into the wilderness. So God commands Moses now in Numbers chapter 10 and verse 2, make two silver trumpets of hammered work you shall make them, and you shall use them for summoning the congregation and for breaking camp. So here you have the sound of the trumpet signaling the Israelites to pack up their gear and get ready to move out. The next few verses inform us that the priests will blow on these trumpets to call the people to assemble at the tabernacle. They'll also use them to announce some festival or feast, or maybe even prepare them for battle. So these trumpets relate to various aspects of life. And according to verse 10 here, they're going to serve as a reminder of you before your God. In other words, the measure of Israel's faith is going to be seen in the way they respond to the sound of these trumpets. Now, you and I have the completed written Word of God. We might be listening for the sound of the trumpet today that calls us to assemble in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. But in the meantime, the measure of our faith is how we respond to the call of God's word. Now, at this point, over now in verse 33, the people begin their journey, and we read here, they set out from the Mount of the Lord, Mount Sinai, 3 days' journey, and the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord went before them, and the pillar of cloud of the Lord was over them. Talk about an exciting day. Let me tell you, from all appearances here, the people are starting out really well. But then you get to chapter 11, and we're told here now in verse 1, the people complained in the hearing of the Lord about their misfortunes. Now, we're not told what the misfortunes were. Could have been some cattle died along the way. Could have been the weather was hot. Could have been life was difficult, and they're not very happy about it. Keep in mind, they are actually complaining about God. Now, the Lord is going to deal with the complaint severely. Verse 1 tells us, His anger was kindled, and the fire of the Lord burned among them and consumed some outlying parts of the camp. Even though very severe, unfortunately, this discipline from the Lord doesn't eliminate their complaining, resentful attitudes. Frankly, it's going to travel with them throughout their entire journey. It's even going to set a pattern for much of what is going to follow now in the book of Numbers. I can't help but wonder about your journey today, beloved. Is complaining a pattern for your life? Well, it shows up again here in verse 4. We read, now the rabble that was among them had a strong craving. Let me stop right here and tell you that the rabble here are non-Israelites who left Egypt along with Israel, according to Exodus chapter 12. They seemed interested in following the God of Abraham, but they really weren't interested in him after all. Now, evidently, the rabble gets everybody else craving the same thing. They say here in verse 4, oh, that we had meat to eat. We remember the fish we ate in Egypt, the cucumbers, the melons, the leeks, the onions, and the garlic. But now our strength is dried up, and there's nothing at all but this manna to look at. Instead of being thankful for God's presence and this miraculous manna, the people can only think about what they don't have. Oh, we don't have any more fish. We don't have any more sautéed onions and cucumber salad to eat. All we've got is this manna. Well, it's no wonder we read here in verse 10, the anger of the Lord blazed hotly. See, the Lord isn't the only one hot, by the way, with anger. Moses lets loose here with his own complaints to God about his job. Verse 11, why have you dealt ill with your servant? In other words, why'd you put me in charge? Verse 13, where am I going to get meat to feed all this people? Verse 14, he breaks down and says, this burden is too heavy for me. Finally, verse 15, he says in despair, if you will treat me like this, well, just go ahead and kill me at once. In other words, Lord, I'd rather die than go one more day listening to 2 million people complain. Well, how about you? Perhaps you're leading a ministry. Maybe you're pastoring a church and you've just about had it. Your service seems unnoticed, unappreciated. The burdens are blinding you to the blessings and benefits. It's more than you can handle. I love the way the Lord here responds so graciously to Moses. He tells him to appoint 70 men from the elders of Israel here in verse 17. And they shall bear the burden of the people with you, so that you may not bear it yourself alone. So the Lord here gives Moses some people, not just to serve with him, but to talk to. People are going to understand this unique burden of leadership. And with that, the Lord responds graciously now to the nation. Verse 31 reads, then a wind from the Lord sprang up, and it brought quail from the sea and let them fall beside the camp. Get this here. Not a shot is fired, and quail are falling from the sky in this miraculous provision. Well, did the people thank the Lord and confess their rebellious, complaining hearts? No, not at all. Verse 33 reads, while the meat was yet between their teeth, the anger of the Lord was kindled against the people, and the Lord struck down the people with a very great plague. You know, the Lord is disciplining his people here for their complaining, rebellious spirit. Now, with that, chapter 12 opens with yet another kind of complaint. This time it comes from Miriam and Aaron, the brother and sister of Moses. Verse 1. Miriam and Aaron spoke against Moses because of the Cushite woman whom he had married. And they said, has the Lord indeed spoken only through Moses? Has he not spoken through us also? Now, Moses' wife, Zipporah, evidently had died, and Moses married another woman from the region of modern-day Ethiopia. Miriam and Aaron aren't too happy about this marriage, and they're going to use it as an excuse to complain about Moses having the primary leadership role in Israel. They don't like the fact that he's sitting in the driver's seat. So this is what you would call a power struggle, but it sounds really spiritual. Hey, Moses, aren't we just as special to God as you are? Let me tell you, this is nothing less than a jealous grab for power. And the Lord is going to appear in a cloud, and here in verses 6 to 8, he's going to vindicate the leadership role of Moses. Aaron will be humiliated publicly for his pride. Miriam becomes covered with leprosy because she evidently was behind this attempted coup d'etat, this grab for power. It's only, by the way, after Moses prays for her, here in verse 13, that she's healed. And let me tell you, there is no record of Miriam or Aaron ever again attempting to take the reins of leadership away from Moses. So here's a timeless lesson. In your church, in your place of work, in your own heart, don't make room for jealousy. But always have plenty of room for humility. But with that, we're out of time. Until next time, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.
God's Word has all the wisdom you need for life. And today we've seen that to be true in the difficult circumstances of life. Stephen entitled today's lesson, Fresh Food and a Power Play. We trust that God is using the Wisdom Journey to equip and encourage you in your walk with Christ. Our ministry has other resources available, including a free offer this month. Visit wisdomonline.org to learn more.